Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Kevin! You're stupid.
Everyone, welcome to episode 535 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am joined once again this week by Chad Smart. And Chad, is that a Too Cool shirt you're wearing? I can't tell from here.
It's not. No, it is the youngest men alive, the Outrunners, who, per our topic today, are definitely going to be contenders. If they should already be in a Hall of Fame, but in the future they will definitely be Hall of Famers. Floyd and Truth Magnum.
I'll be honest, the one guy kind of looks like, as I'm looking, and again, you're on a tiny screen on Zoom, looks like it could have been the late great Colonel DeBeers or possibly Road Warrior Animal without the makeup on. So, and then I think the other guy kind of looks like Brian Christopher still. So that's why I thought it was Too Cool.
No, if you're not familiar with the Outrunners, you need to look them up immediately after this this recording right here, because they are the future and the past all in one.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for it. No, I've seen some of their stuff with AEW, which, speaking of, did you watch the big show from Australia over the weekend?
I sent you snaps of your favorite performer.
Well, yes.
And the sign of the night. I mean, you didn't even comment on that.
I'm trying to remember what it was now.
Someone in the crowd for the Mariah May Tony Storm match had a sign that said "Rip her tits off."
Oh, that's right. That's right. So yeah, Tony Storm winning back the AEW Women's Championship. Yeah. Were you surprised by any of the results from the show?
Not really. I guess I was kind of surprised that Moxley made Cope submit in the tag match. I think Toni Storm winning was the right call, being that they're in Australia, it was her home, you know, area. The storyline kind of dictated that she should win, but you know, we've talked about it before in regards with WWE champions on the show, that Mariah May never really felt like the focus of, as being champion. Either she was being overshadowed by Mercedes Monet, however they're pronouncing it this week. And also the return of Timeless Toni Storm is just something that people were waiting on. And not that Mariah is not worthy of the championship, and they had a good match, and it's probably the best storyline in wrestling in the last 2-3 years. But
in wrestling?
Yes.
Or in AEW? In AEW,
in wrestling.
In wrestling, no.
What's the best storyline in wrestling? Then give me the better storyline. And if you said Bloodline, I'm out of here.
Yeah. How could you not say Bloodline? I'm not saying current Bloodline. I'm talking about the buildup with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and then the moving away from, you know, being Usy or not being Usy. Come on. That's better than Toni Storm and Mariah May. That was good. Best thing going on in AEW, I would agree. But in all of wrestling, no way.
Hate is gonna hate.
We'll run a poll. We'll run a poll, and we'll find out. And if that Toni Storm Mariah May gets even close to half of the Bloodline votes or anything else, what else is out there? You don't like the CM Punk Drew McIntyre friendship bracelet thing?
The 10-month feud that lasted for 3 matches. Yeah. And only lasted so long because CM Punk was injured, because he's fragile Phil. I'm hating now.
I start calling you the finger here in a minute.
I think Tony Storm, obviously, probably the best storyline in AEW, obviously, but I think, you know, you bring up Sami Zayn and that point, but that part of the storyline leading into WrestleMania 39, I can give you that that was a good storyline. I guess when I think Bloodline, I think the entire last 5 years, where I think that storyline has ran its course multiple times. And, you know, talking, I mean, as we're just talking about people who don't, I'm not trying to say this, where the focus isn't on anything but a specific aspect. You know, the Bloodline has really only feuded with Cody, Sammy, Kevin. You know, it's like, kind of like, so to compare it to AEW, right now they have the Death Rider storyline with Jon Moxley and Claudio and some guy named Pac. Where in the first week it was like, okay, the entire locker room is waiting outside to, you know, to attack the Death Riders. And then that's just dropped and no one else, now Death Riders come out and attack people and everybody's apparently sitting back and catering or playing video games backstage because no one's coming out. You know, the Bloodline's the same way. Why, you know, if Roman Reigns was such a dominating, overbearing force, why wasn't the rest of the locker room trying to take him down? And, you know, and the, I mean, this could go on a whole nother topic. You know, we look back at wrestling when we first started watching and you would see the locker room empty out to attack guys. Or, you know, when Hulk Hogan won the title, you saw everybody celebrating. And you don't get that a lot these days.
Well, yeah, I mean, go back to the NWO. I mean, it was three guys originally. Yeah. And, you know, technically or theoretically, you would think that they would have all come out that first night and just beat the crap out of them and been done with it. But obviously that wasn't going to work for some people, brother. But, yeah, I get it. And sometimes, again, with wrestling, we have to do that suspension of disbelief. Because how many times have the Death Riders kidnapped the Rock and Roll Express?
Not enough.
Aren't they buddies with the guys on your shirt?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I, you know, that's something that I would be okay with being a running gag where just every week the Rock and Roll getting, get arrested or get kidnapped. And then you're like, why do you keep showing up? Why don't you? But, and if it keeps Ricky Morton from giving Canadian destroyers in the ring, hey, more power to it.
Yeah, well, and then
speaking also, of which, did you watch the Hey EW interview with the Rock and Roll Express?
I haven't seen all of it. I saw a clip of it, but I haven't seen
it. You should let me just say, if you ever get Ricky Morton on the show, make sure you don't have any plans for the next 2-3 days.
Oh, is he chatty?
He can talk.
I met Ricky Morton one time in Alabama. He was teaming up. I've told this story. I think it was Kid Cash before Kid Cash was, but he was wrestling as Ricky Morton's son and they Junior. Were the new Rock and Roll Express. This would have been 1998. So I don't think it was Kerry, because I don't think Kerry would have been old enough to.
I believe Kid Cash started as Ricky Morton
Junior. And it was at a little high school gym in Northwest Alabama. So, and he just talked for a second. You know, I just grabbed him for a second because obviously there were better things going on than talking to the news media. But anyway, WWE or NXT, I guess, had a show over the weekend as well.
Yeah.
Did you watch? You watched some of it, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. But real quick, I just wanted to, before we move off of Rock and Roll Express, you know, everything old is new again, and we talk about recycling gimmicks. Don't you think that it's about time some promotion puts together an Asian tag team and call them the K-pop Express?
There you go. I could see that making money. I mean, I can see that being a thing.
And I mean, given that every K-pop band has like 27 members, it could be like NWO again with just everybody.
Cycling them through, building them up. Yeah. Hey, I posted a video, gosh, probably 2 years ago now, where I said that the Rockers were a better tag team than the Rock and Roll Express. And for some reason, in the last couple of weeks, that video has gotten some traction again. And people are like, at first people were like kind of on my side, but now there's a new breed of people out there. Maybe it's because they're back on TV. Maybe that's why it kind of got a resurgence. But the people are like, this isn't even a debate. This isn't even an argument. And for me, I was more entertained by Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels than I was Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson. And I think this has been talked about multiple times, the fact that, you know, the one thing or one of the things that JCP was lacking was that promotional arm, that marketing push, the action figures and the t-shirts and the lunchboxes that WWE had. And I think that that's where Vince succeeded in creating those larger than life, more bombastic, more, you know, characters that you were, I don't want to say in awe of, I wasn't in awe of Sean and Marty, but I did enjoy them more. And I know they even wrestled when they were still in the AWA as the Midnight Rockers, but what say you? Were you a bigger Rock and Roll Express fan or a bigger Rockers fan?
Well, first you said bombastic, so we got to give a shout out to Bombastic Bob from the new Midnight Express. You know, I think probably I was a bigger Rocker fan. I did like the Rock and Roll Express. But I think they may have been, I don't want to say before my time, because obviously I was watching them, but I think the Rockers were more into, like, the Rock and Roll Express was more that Southern rock, you know, where the Rockers were more, I guess, the hair metal type scene, if you want to compare it to actually bringing music into it. But real quick, just, you know, I think the reason why your video is getting more traction is because Sean and Ricky probably finally got their eyes on it.
You mean Robert?
Robert, yes, sorry.
Yeah. I knew what you meant. You know, the other thing I find interesting, just kind of thinking about this, and we're on a whole different tangent, but that's okay, because these are all Hall of Fame guys. You know, back in when they split up Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, obviously, and we became familiarized with a phrase, you know, one of them's the Jannetty and one of them's the Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels went on to be one of the all-time greats. I remember when they experimented with splitting up the Rock and Roll Express, and I don't know if this was still Crockett or if they had switched over to WCW, but, you know, he joined the York Express, Ricky Morton did, and became Richard Foundation. Morton. Yeah, York Foundation, thank you. To me, it just never worked for him as a, and I know that he wrestled Flair at the Great American Bash and had some good singles matches in that regard, but for some reason, it just seemed like Ricky and Robert were always that team, and they were always going to work better as a team than either one of them in a singles setting.
Yeah, well, I believe Ricky is probably considered one of the best guys to get the beat down and then get the hot tag. And if you don't have anybody to tag, if you just get beat down the entire match, it doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah. Good point. Good point for sure. Well, we are going to talk about the Hall of Fame and WrestleMania. And I actually, before we got on this call, I was just looking to see, because making sure when the Hall of Fame is, because I know they're cramming all kinds of stuff into WrestleMania weekend now. And it's not even WrestleMania weekend anymore. It's WrestleMania week. WWE has activities going on. And I don't know if it's because it's in Vegas this year, but there are dozens of events, whether it's indie shows, podcast shows, you know, Chris Van Vliet and the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, they all have shows going on. It is a jam-packed week for sure. And of course, you got two nights of WrestleMania. We have Stand and Deliver, which is the NXT version, I guess, of WrestleMania that happens Saturday. Hall of Fame is Friday night after SmackDown. Then, of course, you have Monday Night Raw. So there's just so much crammed in and going into this. And we saw ticket prices for Mania and some of the other things, the Hulk Hogan meet and greet, and there have been a couple of other things added. I mean, we're talking thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in some cases. You have to take out a small loan, I think, to go to WrestleMania anymore, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, we've talked about it before. You know, WWE likes to come out now and tout how they are setting records for the largest gates. And it's like, well, yeah, when you jack up the prices, I mean, I think statute of limitations is up to where I can expose how much we paid for WrestleMania 22. I don't think if your wife, I don't know if you ever told your wife how much.
Always. My wife always knew. I know Jeremy's didn't. So
You know, we look back. So 19 years now, which I can't believe it's been 19 years.
I know, right?
We first went, you know, we did the platinum. I think it was the platinum, whatever the top travel package was, which included a fourth row seat at WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame, 3-night hotel, private autograph session, and brunch with, and I'm trying to think, is there anything else? And some, you know, collectible merchandise.
Yeah.
And because Access didn't exist, or WWE World, that they're calling it now, didn't exist. And we got all of that for $1,500 a person. And our ticket for WrestleMania was technically $750. Yeah. And we got a collectible chair.
Yeah.
Now, $1,500 just barely gets you into the stadium
right
to see the show. So, and I mean, you know, ticket prices in general are insane. Beyonce, for example, is coming to SoFi, where WrestleMania 39 was held last we went to. I looked at those ticket prices, and it's, you know, $1,000, $700 to $1,000 just to get into the door. And it's, and to me, I'm like, who is buying these tickets? And, you know, being in Vegas, I'm going to guess, kind of like what they did with WrestleMania 9, that probably casinos got some tickets, and they're giving them away to the high rollers. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we'll see how the crowd reacts during the show. But, I mean, it's even like Disneyland and theme parks. It's like, how does a fan, how, you know, if you have a family or you have kids that you want to take, how do you justify spending that price to go? I don't know.
It is.
Because I can't even justify single person going, much less.
Right. Yeah, it's the ticket prices, like you said, it's across the board, but obviously we see it much more with WWE and the events that they are putting on. And then it makes me wonder, too, what these indie shows, you know, how are so many indie shows going on and a lot of them at the same time? I'll be curious to see. I don't remember seeing so many options at previous Mania weeks, so I'll be curious to see how they do ticket sale wise and, you know, talent, will they be jumping from show to show or how is that all going to work out? But it is a lot.
I haven't really looked since we decided that we weren't going after we saw the ticket prices. And before we saw, thankfully it was before we saw that Jey Uso was challenging Gunther. I haven't really looked to see what all is going on over there. And I mean, in the last week I did think like, oh, maybe I should look to see if I can just get a ticket over, go to like WrestleCon or something. But I figure I've got AC/DC the night before WrestleMania. So my weekend's kind of already booked. But I did see that, you know, you mentioned NXT Stand and Deliver and WrestleMania night one is happening the same. And I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but apparently the times that they were looking at was Stand and Deliver at noon and then WrestleMania at 3. And so
The site,
and I don't know how far.
Yeah. The site that I'm on says Stand and Deliver 11:30 and WrestleMania at 4.
Okay. That would make more sense. And I don't know where Stand and Deliver. I don't know if that's being held at the T-Mobile arena, which would make sense. Cause that
I'm scrolling now to see, cause like I said, I mean, there's events all week and like, at 10 p.m., 11 p.m., I didn't realize there were this many venues even in Vegas, but I guess you could get a spot and do something and have some fun with it, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't know how far away everything is either.
SmackDown. But yeah, there's a ton of opportunities. It is at T-Mobile Arena.
Okay, that's not too bad, because T-Mobile and Allegiant are just across the freeway from each other.
Oh, okay.
So if you got out of there, I mean, you should be able to get over to Allegiant within a half hour to 45 minutes walking.
And I'm curious how many people go just to be in Vegas for all of the festivities and maybe don't go to WrestleMania and hit up the other stuff. Or how many people, I'm curious. I'd be curious because, you know, back in the day when NXT then became a brand too, I mean, we did do Hall of Fame, NXT, and WrestleMania. That was back when it was just one night, though. So it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You had those three events going on. And then, of course, squeezing Access in throughout. So it's definitely an interesting setup the way they are doing things these days.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about it before, but I guess I'll segue into this week's official topic is the Hall of Fame. Should it be its own ceremony or should it continue to be after SmackDown?
Yeah. And that's
especially with SmackDown being 3 hours this year.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I would think unless they used like maybe the last hour to do the Hall of Fame.
To do the Hall of Fame. But, you know, and I was thinking even before we started recording is it's become a staple of WrestleMania weekend, but does it necessarily have to stay at WrestleMania? I know they could move it to perhaps SummerSlam or Royal Rumble or Survivor Series. I know in 96 they did a little ceremony. And I think that's when they kind of brought it back. And they did a ceremony prior to Survivor Series. It wasn't anything. I think it was just a banquet room and they just kind of did their thing. It wasn't like what it has turned into. What is your thought, though, on the whole concept of doing it in the arena? I like the look of it with it being in the ring with the ropes off. But I also kind of miss the days of going and, you know, when we were doing it, you know, dressing up and being in the place and the arena or whatever it was. Yeah. You know, MSG, that was my one and only time going to MSG was in 2013 when we went to the ceremony. So I kind of miss that aspect of it, but I also know, again, you're trying to cram all of this stuff into a weekend of festivities, so, or, you know, a few days of festivities. So what are your overall thoughts of the setup for it?
I'm with you. I like the look. I mean, I'm fine with it being in the ring, but, you know, I also miss the I guess the pageantry of it or the specialness. Now, I mean, you know, we always complained to when it was by itself, people just showing up in, you know, wrestling t-shirts and shorts and catcalling during the show when it should be more of a official presentation. And I think having it after SmackDown does kind of devalue it in a sense because it's like just something that's tacked on. Although I think that also helps cut down the number of inductees. I have to go back and check to see if my memory is correct, but you know, it seems like now there's only a handful of inductees every year, whereas before we kind of get a little out of hand with the number of people. And especially now that they do the legacy inductions where they're just like, oh yeah, these people are in too and moving on. So that's good. But yeah, I think it should be its own special event.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I did like what you started to say about moving it to either SummerSlam or Rumble. But if those shows are also going to two nights,
right,
then you run into the same problem. Yeah. So maybe it should be before Elimination Chamber.
There you go. Correct me if I'm wrong. You have been to a TNA Hall of Fame ceremony, right?
Yeah, I went to, I think it was the first one where Sting got inducted.
I kind of like, and I, again, I've not seen it. I don't know what the setup is like. I don't know anything about it other than that it happens. I almost like the idea. And I know this past year, I think they inducted two people, Don West and Mike Tenay, but.
Yeah, last year. Or
yeah.
2 years ago. Yeah. Because last year was Rhino and, or the last one was Rhino and I can't remember who the other person was.
Okay. But, you know, the smaller, shorter. So was it just like bring Sting out, do the thing and be done? Like, I'm imagining it was pretty quick comparatively speaking. There were nights that we were there till after midnight at the WWE Hall. So
I'm trying to remember because it's been 12 years now. Again, time is such a bastard, like Pac. But it was the first one and they had like a dinner beforehand where this is the bad part is you didn't have an assigned seat. So you just had to like, as soon as the doors open, go in and try to find a table to sit at. And then each table had a wrestler that would come out and sit at the table. So I was fortunate enough to get Chavo Guerrero junior sitting at my table. And he was very nice, very polite, talked with all the fans. And then Dixie Carter, I mean, we ate, and then Dixie Carter came out and explained why they were doing Sting, which at the time, you know, TNA was 10 years old, and it was like, Sting is still wrestling. Why are you inducting him now? But it made sense, because without Sting, TNA probably would not have survived 10 years. And then I remember Lex Luger being there, and then Sting came out and spoke. It was, I want to say probably a couple hours, but definitely not not a WWE Hall of Fame lengthy ceremony. And it was, I mean, obviously it was a smaller state, you know, just because one, TNA, and two, it was a more intimate setting. And I think that helped. And also the fact that only one person, you don't really have time to get bored and, you know, and try to amuse yourself.
Yeah. I mean, we've been to several Hall of Fame ceremonies and they become lengthy and they become arduous. And at points, you know, the year that Ric Flair and The Rock both spoke, it was like, oh my God, we have got to get out of here. So.
I think Lita's still giving her acceptance speech. And Lita, Mr. T.
Yeah. Mr. T, he went a while as well. So obviously they've cleaned up some of that. And I think COVID helped with that in terms of the year that they didn't do a ceremony at all in 2020, but then in 2021, they did a class of 2020 and a class of 2021, and kind of, I think, limited their speeches. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, but I also think, like you said, to get around some of that is to have a smaller class. So then if somebody goes a half an hour, it's not as bad than if you have nine, or, you know, that first year that it came back in 2004, there were 11 inductees. So they all get long winded and start speaking. I imagine that makes for a very long night as well. So, this year, you know, and part of the reason I wanted to do it now is they're starting to announce inductees. Of course, Paul Levesque, Triple H, is I guess the headliner, the main event, if you will, for the class of 2025. Let me get your thoughts on that. It you know, Vince McMahon for many years said he would never be inducted, and now seemingly will not be ever inducted. Which, whatever your thoughts are there, good thing, bad thing, I'm not here to debate that, but. Some people were like, oh, he's putting himself in and he's only been there in this position for a year or two and yada, yada, yada. I personally have no problem with it. I figured it would be coming at some point, but somebody that's certainly worthy of it as well, based on his wrestling career, but now, you know, this new life as well. But what are your thoughts on Triple H going?
Kind of echoing you, I'm obviously Triple H is a Hall of Famer. You know, I mean, technically, because he's already in the Hall of Fame with DX, but since he's the head creative right now, to put himself in, allegedly, you know, it was like, oh, he didn't know. It was all Stephanie and Undertaker and Shawn.
Yeah.
But whether that's completely true or not, I don't know. I do think it doesn't really seem a good fit for the start of the Paul Levesque era. You know, it does seem kind of self grandializing. That's not a word, but you know, but again, you know, we've talked about it before. They've inducted so many people. You need a headliner. And I know Batista was supposed to go in a few years ago, and I don't know what his film schedule is like. You know, if he was available this year, but what main eventers are still out there that could headline? You know, I'm kind of surprised they're not doing John Cena.
That's who I instantly thought of was why not? It makes, to me, Cena makes more sense right now than Triple H, just based on the fact that this is Cena's last hurrah.
Right. I mean, I still think that, you know, there should be like other sports where you have to be retired for 5 years before you can be inducted, but then no one's going to get inducted until after they die because wrestlers don't retire.
Yeah. I mean, Rey Mysterio And now Cope, you know, I know when he was inducted as Edge, originally he was retired, but was inducted the year after. Shawn Michaels, I think, was the year after. Ric Flair was the night before he officially retired. But, you know, again, he's, if you go with the 5-year rule, we'd still have 2 years to wait for him to be inducted. So, yeah, I don't disagree with you. I do wish, you know.
Yeah, I'm I'll just say real quick, I'm not a fan of putting people in that are still full-time active.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I and that's what I was going to say is I don't necessarily think it has to be 5 years, but like you said, and Cena, I think, is the exception because we do know he is retiring. And I do think he is going to be one of those who stays retired. I don't think he's going to pop back up in 5 months unless, you know, maybe the Saudis throw a bunch of money at WrestleMania Saudi and he comes back for that. But
well, and I was going to say, you know, there's also the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which their criteria is 25 years after your first release. So do you put it on, you know, you have to have wrestled X amount of years.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on, and when I say non-wrestler, I don't mean the celebrity wing, because that's a whole nother topic. But, you know, the announcers, to my knowledge, we've yet to have a referee ever inducted. Managers, you know, obviously all part of the presentation, part of the show. And then WWE has been very formulaic in years of, you know, we have to have a main eventer, a tag team, a female, a mid-carder, and, you know, maybe a couple of 2 or 3 mid-carders. I don't think it necessarily has to be formulaic, but I also think that it has to, obviously, you don't want to put in, like the year that they put in Piper, Hogan, Paul Orndorff, you know, basically that first WrestleMania card, I loved that class, but I also wondered if it was putting too many bigger names in all at once. But
Yeah, that goes back to my comment about there being not of headliners because they put, you know, too many people in at one time. And so, yeah, we're running out of people. So and I get it, you know, you kind of want to have, I guess, the specific types of inductees every year, because if you don't, then people are going to complain like, oh, why didn't, you know, this person get inducted, or why didn't this person, as I'm sure we'll talk about in more detail when we start naming people that should be in there. But, you know, I mean, honestly, I think like 4 to 5 people is the ideal class. And, you know, also, you know, the main event, now we're getting into that, probably into that area where should a female be the main event talent, you know, instead. So for the two names that are already been announced for this year, instead of getting Triple H, should Michelle McCool have headline and not have Triple H and just have her be the, you know, or.
Definitely not her specifically. And we'll get to her in a minute, and I'm not hating on her, but I think with this era that we're in right now, you know, 10, 15 years from now, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair and perhaps Bianca Belair, you know, there are going to be those. But I think you could have, you know, we could have saved Trish Stratus, you know, 2013, the year we were there. That was a very stacked class as well, where many of them could have been the headliner. You know, Mick Foley, Bruno Sammartino, Booker T, Bob Backlund, probably not the main eventer, and then Trish Stratus. I mean, I definitely, I think, in hindsight now, you could have maybe made the argument for her to be. But again, that was in an era where women's wrestling wasn't where it is today. So I definitely think eventually you will see that headliner talent be on the female roster for sure. As long as it's not Nia Jax.
Oh, come on. I know you have the website Nia Jax for HOF already registered, but no, you know, and I hadn't thought about it until I just mentioned it, but I do think, like you said, that the crop of female talent that we have right now are definitely treated. I mean, one, it's because the presentation is better. You know, they're put on the same level. They're not treated as a special attraction. So I hope that when it comes time to put them in, that they do get the star treatment that they should.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And, you know, you brought her up, Michelle McCool, and I think you sent me a snap during the week that she was going in. Very surprised. I was surprised to see that, not because she's not worthy, because I do think she had a decent run. But again, and I threw out a few other names that I thought, but again, it's such a subjective thing. We're talking about a Hall of Fame for entertainment, essentially. Mm-hmm. So how do you quantify someone else's, you know, I'm not basing it on the matches she won or lost or the championships that she held. I was basing it on my preference of that performer. But, you know, the idea that The Undertaker, who was this icon in wrestling, and again, I know he retired and there was a little bit of a time there, is just, what, 2 years, 3 years ahead of his wife going into the Hall of Fame. I just, to me, that's where I'm like, okay. But then I tell myself, it is, you know, it's entertainment. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. We're not doing this based on anything other than the metrics of being entertained or whatever. And some of it is political, I think, as well. And I know that she is married to The Undertaker, and maybe that's why the time is now for that induction.
Well, I mean, other than her Rumble appearances, when was her last official match? She might fit into the 5-year rule.
I think she does. I really think she does fit into that for sure. And then part of it is maybe not admitting that time is going by so fast that someone from that era has been away from it for as long as they have.
Yeah.
And we talked politics, and you know, I know Owen Hart, obviously, as long as Martha Hart is in her mindset of where she's at, he'll never go into the WWE Hall of Fame. Mm. I thought Elizabeth, I thought her family had something going on as well, but I know that they've just released some new Elizabeth figures. So maybe that's, you know, waning. That big lawsuit from years ago, I saw last week that Demolition, Axe and Smash, and I guess Crush have been added to the alumni section, and they've signed a Legends deal. So does that mean Demolition could be announced for this year? I would certainly
hope so.
All for that because... But, you know, and people get online and they're like, well, they should be in, or King Kong Bundy should be in, or whatever. And it's hard to justify putting someone in who has a lawsuit against you. So I understand why they didn't put some of those talents in earlier, or, you know, look at Bruno Sammartino. Obviously, he should have been one of the first inductees. But he and Vince had such a feud going on. And I think Triple H kind of helped ease some of that. The Ultimate Warrior is another one that should have gone in sooner. Macho Man Randy Savage. But there's other things at play. And, you know, and I don't want to get into who shouldn't be in there. But obviously there are talents that should have, that we don't know the backstory, the behind the scenes, the what's going on. And I could understand why they would wait for Demolition, for example, of going in. But I would anticipate that they are hopefully on the docket for this year as well.
I hope so. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that brings up the point of that we get every year of once they start announcing the names and people are like, oh, this person should be, and it's like, again, we don't know. And again, the problem, I'm going to get on my soapbox here, but the problem with social media is we think we know everything about everything. And the truth is there's so much we don't know. And so you don't, you know, it, I mean, obviously, the big name that we've talked about for years is Cyndi Lauper, and she should be in there in the celebrity week. She should have been the first inductee, maybe behind Mr. T. But, you know, is it that they've tried and she hasn't been available? Is it she doesn't want to? Is it WWE doesn't want? You know, there's so many plausible reasons why. But until someone comes out and specifically says, you know, we've tried to get her, it hasn't worked out, or no, we don't want her in the Hall of Fame. She doesn't want to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, again, as fans, we get so riled up about things that have no consequence on anything. So, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, I know Cyndi is out on her farewell tour right now. So I'm going to guess that she probably is not available for this year, but maybe if she's retiring from music, maybe she will be more available next year. Or I don't know.
She's, she's a nominee for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
So, do you think region matters? I know, like, when WrestleMania was in Dallas, mm-hmm. the Freebirds went in. And when they were in Houston, the Von Erichs went in, which those are, like, a couple of the regional ones that I think of when I hear. Allegedly, in 2010, when they were in Phoenix, they wanted the Ultimate Warrior to go in because he was from that area, but it didn't work out, and Ted DiBiase ended up being the main eventer. So do you think that a region of the country, a territory from back in the day, matters when it comes to selecting inductees?
I think it helps promote and gives kind of a theme to that year's Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it should be the criteria for induction. But yeah, because I think wasn't also in, was it Dallas or Houston when the Funks went in?
I think it was
Houston. Was that Florida?
The Funks.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Houston was the Funks. And then.
Okay. Yeah, because in Florida, when it was in Orlando, it was like Gordon Solie, Flair. I want to say his dad. I can't think of the Graham. That was the promoter.
That was Eddie.
Eddie?
Mike was the son, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mike was.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was Eddie Graham that went in that year.
Okay, yeah. So I think they did like a Florida Championship Wrestling angle on that. But yeah, being in Vegas this year, who are you going to induct? Godfather's already in.
Right, right.
Matt Riddle and Ricochet aren't Hall of Famers yet, so.
What about the posthumous induction? Does that bother you when you know, we've been to a few. Obviously, Eddie Guerrero, the first one that we went to was he wasn't the main event, but he was one that was inducted that year. The Big Boss Man, you know, we were there for his induction. There have been a handful of wrestlers who are no longer with us, or talents that are no longer with us that were inducted. Does it bother you? Does it matter? Do you think? I know there was a rumor at one time that Vince's perception was he didn't want anyone that was with a disability or anyone who was no longer with us to be inducted because of the, I guess, the negative connotation that is sometimes tied with that. But I don't think that should preclude somebody from being a part of this.
Yeah. I mean, unless their, their death is attributed to lifestyle behavior, I can see that. I'm probably going to upset someone with this comment, but I think Eddie going in was complete emotional manipulation. I don't think, obviously Eddie is a Hall of Fame contender, but I think that WrestleMania, which was 22, the first one we went to, where Ray won the Rumble for Eddie and then won the title, like that whole storyline, just I don't have fond opinion of it, because again, it's just emotional manipulation of the fans. So I again, Eddie should go in, shouldn't have been at that time. My only I guess criticism of inducting people who are no longer with us is, are the people that are going to be doing the speech, I'll say, based on a conversation we had right before this, before we started recording, you and I would never be chosen to give a speech at a Hall of Fame. And that's the thing with when wrestlers get up there, they have the personality to do so. Mm-hmm. When you have like the ex-wife or the kids, that might not have that personality, it's great. Like when Boss Man, I believe it was his wife and his daughter, and you get the emotional aspect of it because I can explain, but I think you want something a little bit more than just emotion,
right,
at a wrestling Hall of Fame. But I don't think that I don't think it should preclude someone from going in. And now they're doing the legacy wing, which is more of the, people that aren't here to speak for themselves, where you just like, oh, But then I feel like that kind of gets, you know, just kind of like, oh, and by the way, these are here too, you know.
I don't feel like they've done the legacy thing in the last couple of years, but I could be wrong about that. I'm not.
I think they have, but I don't think it's been anybody of our generation.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's people that came before we started wrestling. Gotcha. Or watching wrestling. You wrestled. I have not. So.
No, that makes sense.
So yeah, I'm waiting for the Stride Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Yes. Well, don't wait too long. but yeah, I think that, again, Hall of Fame is overall a good thing. I know that there are, you know, people that complain about who's in, who shouldn't be in, who should be in. As lifelong fans, I think it's fun to celebrate. I know that there are other wrestling Hall of Fames out there. The one in Waterloo, Iowa, gets a lot of talk these days as well. You know, Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, Arn Anderson, Conrad Thompson actually also all have in the last few years gone into that Hall of Fame. So I think maybe where WWE could cut down on the criticism is if they kind of explained how they make their decisions. You know what I mean? Like, there's never been any official, at least from what I've seen, any kind of like, hey, this year it's going to be Thunderbolt Patterson and who headlined? I can't even remember who headlined last year.
Was it the Steiners?
No.
Or was it someone else?
It was someone else that headlined. The Steiners go in last year? The year, see, it, everything kind of all blurs together too, so it's hard to even remember. Who went in and who didn't go in. But, you know, that becomes part of it too, is like, how are they deciding who goes in? And again, not saying that Thunderbolt Patterson didn't deserve to go in. I remember him from the Georgia days, but are you looking? It looks like you're looking.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's 2 years ago. I guess because 2023 was 2 years ago.
Yeah. That was the year that we watched it. We were in, it was in LA. We watched, that was Rey Mysterio's year, I think, too.
Yes. Let's see. Last year was Bull Nakano. Paul Heyman.
Oh, Paul Heyman was the main event. Yeah.
Yeah. Muhammad Ali, the US Express, Bull Nakano, and Thunderbolt Patterson.
So, yeah, that was a very interesting.
Oh, yeah. It was in Philadelphia, duh.
Yes. Yeah. And again, that's where location comes into play. It would make more sense to induct Paul Heyman in Philly than it would in New Orleans or, you know, in Las Vegas coming up. So, any other thoughts on the Hall of Fame or today's product, WrestleMania, as we're counting down? I know we got Elimination Chamber before we get to Mania. So,
yeah, I had a thought, and then I got sidetracked looking up the Hall of Fame. two thoughts, actually. So you said, you were mentioning that they don't announce how they select who they are doing. You know, should it be, and again, I'm using other sports criteria, like baseball, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where they have people vote. And, you know, especially now that we have the rise, I guess, in the wrestling media, you know, so we don't just have to rely on a cranky old guy in the San Francisco area to tell us what a 5-star match is. But, you know, should Chris Van Fleet,
Sam Banks is my friend.
I mean, if Sam Banks wants to do it, yeah.
Sam Roberts,
Peter, I can't think of the guys that always show up on the pre-show, you know, who hold media credentials outside of WWE.
Yeah.
Should they give them some, let them have some input in who should be selected? Yeah. Or is it just WWE's being like, you know, is it going to be Triple H and whoever is on the board of directors saying like, okay, we're going to do this? Or I don't know. It'd be interesting, I think, to see who then. Again, I think, though, you'd have to have some type of criteria.
Right.
As to who could be in. And then, you know, the thing that we've talked about for years is, when are they going to build an actual Hall of Fame? And where will they put it? And if they put it in Saudi Arabia, no.
No, I agree with you there. Yeah, because there was a rumor years ago that they were going to do something, I think, on City Walk in
at Universal Studios, Florida. Right?
In Florida. Where do you think would be the ideal spot for it?
I would go with Orlando just because since NXT is based out of there, I don't think people are going to go to Connecticut just to go to the Hall of Fame. So, but if you get people that are already in Orlando traveling, I think that's probably the most ideal place. Again, you know, you could also do Vegas, which is coming up, or, you know, LA. Obviously I would choose a major city.
Right. It's a destination for sure.
Yeah. But I think Orlando has the best reasoning to do it there. You know, they could see what's going on over at the Impact Zone and maybe turn that into the Hall of Fame, but they need to have something, you know, and it's been now, like I said, 25 years since they've been doing the Hall of Fame. Like, there's enough material and people in there now to have a good sized building. So
yeah,
you should do it.
Definitely. Definitely agree with you there. Anything else before we wrap up this week's episode?
We really didn't touch on the NXT show at the beginning. We mentioned it and then quickly move on, but I have nothing to say about it really. It was just, it was a show. It was fine. It was no AEW.
Hey, before we do wrap up, I know you mentioned Cyndi Lauper. If you had to pick, we said Demolition also. I'm going to assume that'll be your tag team pick.
Yeah.
What mid-carder, if you will, would you throw in to round out this year's class? If we put Cyndi Lauper as the celebrity and Axe and Smash as the tag team, is there a manager or a mid-carder that you'd throw in there too this year?
Again, this is why I will never be chosen to give my picks for the Hall of Fame serious consideration. What's that?
Can't remember who's already in.
Well, that too. But, you know, my pick, he's an agent with the company right now. I got to go with the Hurricane. Should be in there.
There you go. I like Hurricane. And that's become part of the thing too, is like you said, we're 25 years removed from the Attitude Era ending, basically. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a lifetime ago. And so, I always think of Hall of Fame, and I'm like, oh, it's got to be people from the 80s. But, I mean, it makes sense putting people now in from the 2000s, because it's doesn't all have to be from the 1900s, as the kids say today. So,
yeah. Who would be your pick?
Well, for manager, I think I would put Slick in. Mm. And, you know, as far as another, you know, kind of quote unquote mid-card wrestler, I always loved the Kamala gimmick. So I would love to see him go in at some point. But then also, and I know it won't happen because he's with AEW, but Goldust, or, you know, Dustin, I guess as Goldust. But I think eventually that'll happen. And I guess that's a whole nother thing too, is currently signed AEW talent, will they ever get in? Christian, Chris Jericho, I think Tony Schiavone. I know he has said he would not do it, but I do think there's a handful that are on AEW right now that could and will hopefully one day will go in. Do you ever see that becoming an issue where, I know TNA back in the day, there was that trade with Ric Flair and Christian for something. And, but do you think we'll see a day where a current AEW signee gets inducted into the Hall of Fame?
I would hope so. I would hope that wouldn't prevent someone from doing so. If they, you know, if there was a specific reason why they should go in a certain year, but I don't see it happening. You know, and I think Chris Jericho has said that he wouldn't go in while he was signed to AEW. With Vince McMahon out now, Christian's chance of getting into the Hall of Fame is much better. But yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like multiple companies exist and you can't pretend that they don't.
Right.
And I know, you know, we're better off now in that regards of companies acknowledging, you know, but I saw something last week where MJF, had a match with Dustin Rhodes and he made reference to Cody, and someone online is like, oh, why are you, you know, mentioning the other company or something like that. And it's like, it's Dustin Rhodes. It's not like people don't know who his brother, right. You know, it's so, But no, to answer your question, I would hope so. Again, I hope it doesn't prevent someone, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. Just because I think WWE has enough people that they don't need to reach out to AEW.
Right. Yeah. That's
and most of the guys that are there, you know, hopefully not anything negative against them, but within 5 years should not be wrestling full time anymore.
Right. Yeah. I don't disagree with you there. Friends, we want to hear your thoughts. Who should go into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2025? Who else do you want to see added to that list of Triple H and Michelle McCool as of press time as we record this? So we want to hear your thoughts. Let us know. You could win a prize, and we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.